First to Poland, where round two of the presidential elections are taking place tomorrow. Narrowed down to two contenders, the Conservative incumbent President Andrzej Duda and the Liberal challenger, the Mayor of Warsaw, Rafał Trzaskowski. Why is this election so important? Because vital values are being played out, as elsewhere in Europe, populism versus liberalism. But for Poland, with a particular and surprising edge, and amidst very high stakes for it and the EU. Poland was seen as the democratic star of the post-Soviet states, steadily surviving the upheavals of transformation, even emerging from the 2008 GFC rather unscathed. But in the last few years, Poland seems to have been following Hungary down the illiberal route, with interference in the judicial system, press freedom and personal freedoms. If Duda remains president, it's feared Poland will further slip away from the EU's core principles. But under Trzaskowski, there is hope of some stability. Just looking at the electoral numbers, polls are certainly divided down the middle. Well, joining me to discuss why this might be the case is Martin Kridger, the Professor of Law and Social Theory at the University of New South Wales and a long-time observer of Polish politics and culture. Welcome back to Saturday Extra, Martin.
Hi, Geraldine.
The EU does have reason, it would seem, to be concerned about the erosion of democratic values. And would you say that these concerns are legitimate and are really being really put to the test in this election?
Yes, I do. I agree with that completely. They're legitimate because, pardon me, the present government, the Law and Justice Party government, which has been in power since 2015, has run since almost the first day a relentless campaign to try to take over independent forces, particularly the judiciary. They have taken over the Constitutional Court completely. They have revamped and taken over effectively the body, the National Council of Judiciary, which appoints judges. They've got now in place their own Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. There is very brave and very distinguished resistance by a lot of lawyers and judges. There are 10,000 judges in Poland, but it's a campaign. They have also taken over the public television, which, unlike the esteemed ABC, is now just a propaganda arm of the government. So it wants to be a bulldozer, and if it gets a renewed presidency, its chance of bulldozing other forces of independence are increased dramatically.
It is still, though, very much a functioning democracy, isn't it? And that's what these elections do prove.
Well, you'd have to have an adjective to that. It's functioning. That is, there are elections, and so far they haven't been massively cheated, but a democracy needs more than elections. And one of the things that in Poland, but also in Hungary and many other of these new populist countries that we see, is that if you can take over, for example, the public television, or in Hungary, many other sources of media, if you can attack the independent institutions, the judiciary, courts, and so on, then you have to put an adjective in front of democracy. It's at the moment an authoritarian democracy or a hybrid democracy. It's not a healthy democracy.
Right. But this, so you believe this is a crucial election, do you? We tend to say this, but you clearly believe this is...
Yes, I do. And you've got to remember, it's a presidential election. The government already has parliament. The government is in parliament. The president is the head of state. He can veto legislation for a while. He can be either a partner or a questioner of the more extreme activities of the government in a country where many independent institutions have been taken over or will shortly be taken over.
Right. And a Polish president isn't allowed to belong to a political party, but of course he used to be a member of the ruling Law and Justice Party, the PIS.
He's a puppet. He does what he's told.
For whom? For Kaczynski.
For Kaczynski, who is, in this strange Polish setup, he's simply a member of parliament. He has no official position, but except that he's head of the party. But both the president and the prime minister are his people. And the president in particular seems to have increasingly displayed no independent voice, no independent ideas. He does what he's told.
And he has the power of veto. The parliament can override that, but it has to have a 3/5 majority. So,
that's right.
Yeah, okay. And now the party built power by attacking, quotes, corrupt elites, didn't it? And it really did.
Yes.
Its language was very florid, and it did very much divide the country. Now, how would you say that's playing out in this? At least it's got to a second round, which I suppose you must be very pleased about.
Well, I would have preferred Trzaskowski to win the first round, but that wasn't on the cards. Poland, one thing that really is fundamental is that Poland is socially, politically divided now 50-50. And that means that whoever wins, there are going to be problems because there'll be a hugely disappointed 50%. Trzaskowski, I think, he's a new kid on the block. I mean, he was mayor of Warsaw, but he only came to run as president a month ago. And that's because the opposition, the main opposition party, was very unsuccessfully led by a woman who was unfortunately not ready for that position. So he's only been campaigning for a month, and he's been very, very effective. Still, the polls are very, very easily balanced within a statistical error. And a lot will depend on the ability of the two candidates in this round to mobilize the people who voted for the losing candidates in the first round. There are four of those of significance, and this is, in a sense, Duda is campaigning very heavily and in a very brutal way for his own base, but they're both trying to extend their base to capture these people who voted for other people in the first round.
Now, the Polish sociologist Karolina Wigura has said the divide in Poland is more complex than an us-and-them division, and that the right-leaning politicians in Poland, members of the Law and Justice Party, have actually been more skillful in appealing to deep emotions of the Polish people. And it's most interesting, her take on it. The emotion of disappointment about post-communist life. Is there something in this that you wrestle with?
Yeah, there's a lot in it, though I think that the article which you mentioned, which I've read, exaggerates in a number of ways. First of all, we often talk about Poland. Poland is disappointed. When it's a 50-50 split, it's not Poland, it's 50%. That 50% is made up primarily people over 60, people in small towns and in the countryside, less educated people. The 50% that vote for Trzaskowski are residents of the bigger cities and bigger towns. They're better educated, and the young under 50. So already it's not a simple thing. And when we're talking about disappointment, there have been huge winners and losers, both materially and psychologically, in terms of felt dignity out of the transformation. There have been a lot of disappointed people, and that's something that I think she's right in saying. Peace, the government, like many populist governments, like Trump, most obviously in the United States, have been very skilled at tapping resentments, displacements, anxieties. These are things which populists are very good at going for. And in the present moment, in many countries in the world, they've not been unsuccessful.
Well, and she also makes the point, and we haven't got a lot of time, that liberals can get overwhelmed by this kind of politics. It's sort of, there's a defeatism surrounds, as she puts it, the failure of liberal democracy to deliver. And the liberals also feel that pandering to this emotion plays the same game as populists, and they prefer to calm feelings down or just steer clear of them. Most interesting observation.
Well, the government party in Poland at the moment, like Trump, have no brakes. There's nothing that they won't say for votes at the moment. They've said that LGBT is an ideology which is worse than communism. They've indulged in really crude attacks on Germany, which is their most powerful neighbour, most powerful, important and will dispose neighbour. They have another neighbour, Russia, which is none of the above. So the Liberals find it hard to compete at that level of vulgarity, which is a serious inhibition when the heat is so hot and the stakes are so high.
Look, just quick final question. Can it go to a third round? Let's say it's stuck in the second round. What happens then?
Well, I doubt that it'll be sort of mathematically stuck, but if it's very close, there are potential grounds, all sorts of potential grounds for people to question the election, even the constitutionality. The piece wanted to have the election when it was scheduled in May, and it was overtaken by the
COVID
virus. And they were absolutely adamant that they would have it because they had the country was in chaos and they knew that they would win, even though that would threaten millions of people. Eventually, in the last days before the election, that was postponed hurriedly and messily. So there are grounds potentially for legal challenges, and there will be legal challenges certainly in close voting things. So who knows? I've no idea.
How fascinating.
But as always in Poland, I've no idea.
All right. Look, thank you. We'll watch very interestedly tomorrow. Thank you, Martin Kridger, for joining us.
Pleasure.
A professor of law and social theory at the University of New South Wales and a longtime observer of Polish politics. And that vote is tomorrow.